Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Guilty Movie Pleasures. In-depth discussion on movies, no matter how guilty they make you feel.
Hard rain. We're not even going to go. We're not even going to say welcome to the show. Fuck it. We're going hard friggin' rain today on Guilty Movie Pleasures. My name is Josh McCouga. I'm so full of hard rain.
We're doing a movie that's insane. Even Ben Begley doesn't own.
Ben Begley actually thought he might go to the library and find a copy of Hard Friggin' Rain.
Couldn't find it.
To Ben's left is our good buddy Casey Schlosser.
There we go.
I like Casey, though.
Casey. We just put it together.
Me and Kesha could be like a...
Or your Sean Connery.
Casey, welcome to the show. And to my right, the musical director of Between the Sheets, Mark Henrietto. And obviously, to my immediate left, my co-host. You guys know him from his Hallmark movie. Well, love, you're here again. Ben Begley.
Brilliant performance.
Guys, welcome to the show. Thanks for having us, man.
This is so fun.
This is awesome. Yes. Yeah. That's your version of Jimmy Kimmel's Matt Damon joke. You realize that?
Yeah.
That's your version of it.
We all got to steal something from Kimmel.
Never give me a legitimate intro. Just make up shit.
And if you guys hadn't noticed by me yelling at the beginning of the show, we're doing Hard Rain today, guys. Mm. And this was...
Which you're yelling very, like... aggressive, as if this movie has any, like, super badass like Hard Rain. It's just the title's that. The movie itself doesn't have, like, a super tough guy in it or anything.
What? Christian Slater
in a wet t-shirt contest for most of the movie.
Yeah, look at that.
The guy that played Boggs in Shawshank Redemption, getting back together with Morgan Freeman. The role that got Minnie Driver this role, her role in Good Will Hunting, led straight to Hard Rain.
Clearly.
It's just a clear progression.
Yeah. Betty White's finest performance
Big
as an
comeback
actress.
For Betty White.
This
Ed
is
Ed friggin'
yeah,
Asner.
Ed Asner.
I'm Hard Rain, and I also support mutual life insurance.
That's
looking at
Oh, so it was, I get it now. It was just Ed Asner's voice this whole time.
Yes, exactly.
That makes sense. Sorry, I just wanted to clarify that.
One day away from retirement, dead. It's classic, classic plot device. Guys, Hard Rain was brought to my attention. I didn't even know what this movie was by Casey over here. I asked him. I was like, because Casey unfortunately is leaving Los Angeles. He's moving to the East Coast in about a week.
What?
And
the Mets are good. I have to go.
That's the real reason.
It's pretty much the reason. Yeah. I'm mostly people to go. You know, family, and
Ben,
I love the city.
Ben, by the way, thinks that people that go to the Metropolitan Museum of Art, he has no idea about anything sports. So.
I like museums.
Yeah, he's a big museum.
Get a free, free little fan. Big museum buff, guys.
Very nice.
I have a membership to LACMA.
Heard of it?
I believe it's pronounced LACMA.
They do a great film.
I like LACMA.
I like Padma Lakshmi as well. Okay. And Casey, I was like, Casey, I wanted you to come on the show before you move. Very talented guy. Just made a movie. It's called The Conspiracy
Connection.
Yeah. I started watching it last night. You're sending it to all the festivals and stuff, I believe. So, uh-huh. I mean, until
yeah,
it gets
no,
like,
I definitely
picked up
came
for distribution.
On, you know, guns blazing, no Facebook, no Twitter, yeah. Barely an email, maybe a phone.
Still
no
has a
way
flip phone
for
what I
any
understand.
Viewers to watch the movie for at least a few months. So keep tuned.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Put that in your brain now and remember it
exactly.
Four months
for at least a lot of time.
But so I'm talking to Casey about coming on the show. He's like, let me think about it. And then midnight on like a Friday, I'm drunk and I just get this text message, single, Hard Rain. And I was like, I've never heard of this movie. Then I talked to Mark and he's like, yo, you want to do Hard Rain? I'm like, what is Hard Rain? I don't even know what Hard Rain is.
Wait, so this is two separate ideas that came up with Hard Rain?
No, but like he came up with it.
So I got out of work and I went over to his house. We have a couple of beers. And you had asked me what movie I want to think about. And, you know, I take umbrage with some of the other selections that you've done. Because you have picked on this show some of the finest works of art that Western civilization has possibly ever turned out.
Well, that's the thing.
Predator is at least number three in the top action movies of all time.
I wasn't here when they picked Predator. I never would have agreed to that being a guilty movie pleasure.
That was definitely, I never thought was a guilty movie pleasure, but there are some guilty parts of that. But again, it is top three favorite action movies of all time. Now,
certainly.
On the flip side of that, Commando is 100% a guilty movie pleasure.
Yes,
that's
a guilty movie pleasure of all time.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
I am genuinely feel guilty for loving this movie with every part of my heart. I was enthralled watching this movie. Just enthralled.
Oh, I can't wait to get into why.
But that's the beauty. There is no. There's
and
no why.
As soon as he brings up Hard Rain, you bring up, you're like, have you never seen it? I'm like, no. He's like, Christian Slater, Morgan Freeman, vehicle. I'm like, oh my God.
Robin Hood, Prince
so
of Thieves.
So the first time I'm watching this was Thursday, was Saturday night. I wasn't feeling too hot, so I stayed in. And I'm watching Hard Rain, and I'm live tweeting my experience of Hard Rain.
I saw you live tweet once, by the way.
No, there was like 35 tweets.
Oh, okay.
Oh my yeah. God.
You must have only tagged me or whatever.
Tagged you in one of them, okay. Yeah. And this movie just blew my mind. Midway through watching this, I'm like, holy shit. This movie, well, it doesn't stop raining the whole movie. The
whole time.
It's a ticking clock. The whole town goes underwater. Yeah.
I really hope they recycle the water. This movie, they wasted a lot of water, guys.
That's why we have the drought. That's why we have the drought.
$2 million down the drain.
Hard rain, drought causer. And I'm like, Jesus, how much did this movie make? I'd do a quick IMDb. $70 million, roughly. It made $8 million.
Oh, it cost $70
million. Cost $70 million to make.
Oh,
made $8 million in $8 the box.
They should have made this and Waterworld at the same time and just saved $100 million. It would have been great.
You incorporate two brilliant movies into one amazing
simultaneously
movie.
They have a couple of characters. I mean, in both.
As soon as I said brilliant, that YouTube and Twitter are going to explode with brilliant Makuga brilliant. I use brilliant a little too
sarcastically. Yes.
Yeah. It's okay.
I think the word brilliant and genius are overused, but I will say that
and literal,
not sarcastically, literally. Not sarcastically though. No, we're just getting started.
I know. But this movie, I mean, I'm like, oh, okay, so it starts in the rain. No.
It's already been raining.
It's been raining. Oh, there's...
It can't stop raining.
It doesn't
stop. If it stops raining, then it's not hard rain anymore.
And there's no weather report or anything.
It's just hard rain, and then you can't have the climax of the movie a drizzle.
Yeah.
It can't go from hard rain to, third act is sprinkle.
Sprinkle.
Little
it's just spitting. It's
a little
the cloud, hazy. The clouds part.
I'm surprised that didn't happen in the movie. Yeah,
just Mini Driver's face.
Nope, just an awesome, awkward freeze frame at the end of it, but we'll get to that.
We will get to that.
Mini Driver's cutest reaction ever in that freeze frame. Oh, my church is gone.
The fact that they didn't—they weren't able to get when the levee breaks for the soundtrack.
Come on,
pains me.
That would have been an amazing end to the credit song.
I could have had it on repeat the whole movie.
That's one of my favorites.
So I would have loved if the movie ended with it. I can see clearly
now. The rain is gone. Yeah, what about raindrops keep falling on my head?
Well, that'd be just but Randy Quaid just walking around in the sun. Because Randy Quaid.
I mean, we could just keep going. Sun comes out. I'm walking on sunshine.
Oh,
down. So many.
Blind Melon, No Rain.
All I can say is that.
Purple Rain?
Purple Rain.
Man.
We were just listening to Prince on our way over
here. Here's
all
the thing.
New songs.
When you said Purple Rain to me via text, I was like, or when you said Hard Rain, I was like, I think you mean Purple Rain.
Did Prince? Your phone autocorrect purple to hard? I told you about how my phone autocorrects kinda to Katie Lang, right? But then, ironically, I've tried to then put Katie Lang in as a joke, and it doesn't know what I'm doing. So for some reason, kinda is Katie Lang.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
Now, Casey, you are the Hard Rain expert. Did you see this in the theater? Was this more of like a Sunday afternoon on TBS?
I think I did see this in the theater with my family in a small town called Grayling, Michigan. They have like one
you
theater.
You thinking and you knowing are really graying right now. This did happen. Right?
I do a lot of things that gray my general memory.
Truth.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I'm pretty sure I saw it in Grayling, Michigan, this one small theater that they have. You know, 90. One theater. I saw Independence Day July 4th, the day it came out.
Still
the greatest
movie
of all time.
He still sticking
it. We haven't done that on this show yet. That's a great
movie.
That's
a guilty
movie. I don't think that's guilty.
It's not guilty.
When you rewatch it now, it's great, but there's some very guilty stuff in there.
Yeah.
But
it's
awesome.
Welcome to Earth. Welcome to Earth.
He just knocks out an alien with a human fist.
I've done that speech many times.
I can't wait to get to the... You just reminded me of one of my favorite moments in Hard Rain, which is the underwater uppercut that he does.
Oh, oh right.
Where he swims up
straight
and uppercuts
Mortal Kombat,
it. I'm like,
man.
I'm pretty sure that the water would kind of slow down your punch.
If you've ever tried to punch somebody in the water, it's tough.
It's tough.
This movie bent the laws of physics more than the first two Matrix movies combined.
Yes.
Combined.
Just science in general.
It's just science. Yeah.
when a power line a drops taste. In water, everything should get electrocuted, correct?
Technically, yeah. The electricity would continue, yes, I do believe.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, I didn't get an A in physics, but...
It was great to see the transformer. I mean, a transformer is what, 18 feet up.
Yeah.
So the water level kept changing from like 4 there's feet no, to 12 yeah. feet to 18 to like 7 yeah. and a half.
I love how there's no like. Okay, we should do the plot under.
Well, wait, did you? When did you first see it?
Today.
This week.
Saturday.
I had seen it on VHS or something. I remember.
Yeah,
even,
same here. Back
even
in the day.
Yeah,
I saw it on VHS.
What, how old would I have been? 16? 16, yeah. And okay. I was like, that was okay. I remember that was my reaction. I was like, jet skis were cool. And then I put it out of my brain until it came up. And then I watched it this morning. Till 20 minutes before I needed to be here, and that's why I was late. And it actually, the action scenes are a lot of fun.
Yes,
it's completely stupid.
Yes,
and,
yeah.
And so stupid. And there's so many serendipitous, ridiculous things that happen. The tree coming into the police station.
The fact that every time they go into a building, the water mysteriously just starts rising quicker than it has the last 2 hours of the movie.
And, oh, absolutely.
And just how every act is divided by, the levee broke more! You can clearly go act one, act two, act three. No. It's just, but I had fun. I fast forwarded through some plot stuff, but you know, all the action is pretty nonstop. You know,
yeah, it's a great ticking clock. Now, what we do on the show is we like to do the plot in the movie in under 3 minutes. So, can start with Casey since
three,
this is his baby.
Two,
one.
Go. All right, long first intro shot. Helicopter going in. Covering the town, everything's flooding, coming in on Randy Quaid's face, where he turns around and says, "So are we all gonna die?"
Ben, go.
Oh shit! Okay, and then from there, I fast forwarded a lot, but there was you think that they're being robbed already, but it actually is the two security guards. It's Ed Asner and Christian Slater's character.
Correct. They drive a Brinks truck.
They have this moment that I fast forwarded through where they're like, "Oh, I'm an old man.
You're not doing plot today. Go." You fast-forwarded to the fun.
I know the second half. Come back to me.
Second half. Go.
Okay, so let's go back all the way to the beginning.
We have 2 minutes, a minute.
All right, so Morgan Freeman and his band of thieves are going to stop this armored truck with $3 million in it with Christian Slater and Ed Asner, and they are going to rob them because this is back when $3 million was, you know, a ton.
Correct.
And so...
The rain starts coming down like really fast, and they're like, look out, are we on the road still? This truck gets full of water. They get up on top, and Christian Slater looks around, and he's like, I don't see anybody. He was like, it's tough to kind of see.
Out there.
Henrietta, go.
And then here comes Morgan Freeman. We just want the money. That's all we want.
That's a good impression.
It is
we just want
good.
The money.
Minute
That's all we
ten.
Want. Oh, man.
Minute we're 20 minutes in.
Jesus Christ.
So Christian Slater hides. The money
after,
in a cemetery.
After Ed Asner gets killed.
And then Mini Driver enters, and they flirt, and then
one
it's
minute.
About like a minute chase scene, and then there's a great uppercut. And then, there, and then the levee breaks. The levee keeps breaking.
A lot of boats. Cool. More boats.
The levee guy apparently is in on the robbery now.
He's shitting on the
quarter. He had orders.
He wants a quarter.
He had
does
to
that
do
not
it.
Work? Yeah,
three.
Yeah.
He had to do it.
45 seconds.
So now.
Epic gun
now
you, battle at the end.
Actually, I think we're past it. I don't know. I think we have 10
Where
seconds.
Do we go?
Where do we start?
Let's go back to the uppercut.
This is the worst reading of the again, like hard rain.
Bring it home.
Okay, here's what happens. So the rain keeps coming down. They meet Betty White and her husband, and they have a rowboat. Like, you gotta get away. And then you realize that Morgan Freeman is just chasing down with the money. But then you realize the sheriff is in on the money. So now they keep fighting for the money. Christian Slater's in between. There's a sheriff that may be into the money, but we're not really sure. His character kind of flip flops a lot. And then Mini Driver's like, I gotta save the church that I've been working on the whole time. All she cares about is the church. We didn't care about anybody else. And then all of a sudden, there's a crazy gun battle. There's chasing. And Morgan Freeman's like, maybe I'll hang out with Christian Slater the rest of the time. Betty White doesn't die. Her husband doesn't die. Everybody else is dead. Money goes away. And moves over.
That was actually, until the last 5 seconds, pretty coherent
amazing.
And pretty thorough.
That was amazing.
I just realized, I have no concept of what 3 minutes actually is. I was like,
you
I got
spent the first
time.
20,
like 20 minutes.
The first 20 seconds on the opening
right
shot.
In.
Yep. I'm going to go get some popcorn. We'll have 2 minutes,
you
40
went, like,
seconds
all Coppola on it.
Can we go back to the
helicopter?
No, we can't go back to anything.
So we'll get back to it after. I think we were like, I don't know what time it was.
I think now is 3 minutes.
I think
maybe now is 3 minutes.
So we We got there.
Okay. You know what, people? Just go watch Hard Rain.
It's more fun to just watch you just spaz.
That was terrific.
One bead of sweat comes
out. For the record, after the first 20 minutes, I pretty much know everything that happened. It's just I wanted to be honest with the viewers in case I misspoke and somebody calls me out on a random Facebook message, which people have done before.
But it also had one of those trailers where it gave away the whole plot pretty much. Like, in the trailer, Ed Asner gets shot, and then you see the Morgan Freeman coming out of the water and everything. Like, you know what's going to happen.
Morgan Freeman, like, Wyatt Earp.
Man, yeah. Like,
in Tombstone, when he's in the thing, so he's good. Like,
bam, bam, bam. Oh, he's like, going across the river.
I've never seen anything like that. Yeah, because nothing like that would ever happen. No. Yeah.
Guns fired so well underwater. It was shotguns that have been underwater soaking for 12 hours just come up.
The fire. I don't know the mechanics of guns that well, but the firing pin, I assume, wouldn't spark. No. So I think
if you're ever watching,
so you
got
to hold a lighter to it while you shoot. I think that's what Arnold does.
I think my favorite part of this movie are the glaring plot holes that present themselves, but not plot holes per se. I'm just like, wait, what kind of moments?
That's right? Okay.
In Hard Rain, okay. Let's start with.
Let's start at the beginning.
Okay.
Right.
Apparently, the town has been evacuated because of flooding.
Yes.
Okay. This tiny little sleeper of a town. Also, another thing you guys have to realize is that Randy Quaid has been the sheriff for 20 plus years, but he didn't get reelected for sheriff in this town.
He's some kind of asshole.
He's pissy. Mm.
The mayor's like, oh, sheriff, go fuck yourself, I'm out. And the sheriff's like, I gotta stick around in my Bruce Willis striking distance boat.
And I gotta.
We haven't done striking distance on this show.
I will fly back.
Striking distance is incredible.
I haven't seen it in 15 years. Yeah, so.
It's shot in Pittsburgh, so the movie's perfect. Obviously,
fantastic.
Now we're going down. We're going down a rabbit hole.
Well, let's not get to such.
Yeah, we're tangenting. Go ahead. You're.
Well, no, I mean, first off, did I fast forward through why this town has $3 million in the bank?
It seems like a really small town because
you have three. $3 million
in
the bank.
Indiana small town.
Yeah, in the movie The Town, the most money they actually get from an armored truck is like $450,000, which is in Boston. Unless they're collecting all of the money in the armored truck of all time.
Well, they have other armored trucks inside this armored truck. It's like a Russian doll of armored trucks. So they have
money
pretty
everywhere.
Good, like, Indiana and parts of Ohio. It's like French whatever touches
the whole
Indiana.
Midwest
everywhere.
Has
one
armored
truck.
And we put Ed Asner
area.
In front of it.
Yeah, and obviously Ed Asner and his mutual life insurance policies, they protect him whilst driving the armored truck.
Here's the first thing that happens for me is, again, like every other movie in the 90s and 80s, there's a band of criminals that you don't know how they all got together, and you're just
Craigslist.
Like, you're like, because they're at the
community
bar,
section.
And there's the
rip
guy
off
who's
one of those guitar lesson flyers.
Want
to rob a armored truck? Oh shit!
Men for men.
Bucket list.
Crosswords ads.
You know, the whole thing in the bar when they establish the one guy's an idiot, the one guy's the tough guy who's over this shit.
Yeah,
right.
Then there's the brains of the
brains
thing.
Of the operation.
The chemistry.
Mr.
Walter White.
They call him like Mr. What's his
name? Mr. Miller.
Mr. Miller.
Yeah, he's like a physics teacher. He even has the tape in between.
Right, yeah.
Good lord.
Every time a bad guy died.
His death is awesome.
What?
Shot through the eye.
Oh, yeah, right in the eyeball. Yeah.
Slow motion.
And then
the glasses go down.
Land on a tombstone.
On a tombstone.
We just skipped an hour and a half, but it's
okay. We just ruined the movie.
Well, I mean, at this point.
You probably get it.
Yeah.
We'll come back to it.
Yeah, we'll circle back. Can we get back to the uppercut?
Hashtag get back to the uppercut.
Yeah. Instead of get to the chopper, it's get back to the uppercut. Come on.
Oh, man.
Now, for me, I think the plot holes really start going when Betty White starts talking about back in 73, which is never touched on again in the movie. You just figure back in 73, there was another big flood, and they didn't evacuate then. And they're like, well, we're sticking with our house because no matter what, it's underwater. We still love the property that we have. Hey, dummies, don't stick around.
You can come back after the flood.
It's a flood.
It's a bait and tackle store. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's meant to be in the water.
Everything's
it'll just float the store.
It's meant
you'll
to
be
in
water.
You know
what
you never see in this entire movie? A fish. There isn't one fish, one shark.
Mind blown.
I just
you see a goat. You see a goat.
Oh, a deer. There's a deer that
helped an antelope.
I thought it was a cow.
Oh, the dead cow.
You see the dead cow? It's a white. It's a dog from the third to last Breaking Bad episode. Ozymandias. I just watched across.
Don't spoil it. I haven't seen the ending of Breaking Bad yet.
There's a dog plays
ben,
no
throw
part.
Throw yourself down a flight of stairs because you are.
Ben.
I just thought of that. There's not one fish. I guess in the budget, because they probably. Here's what I'm thinking they did, which is probably what they filled an entire stage with water.
But
right.
A lot of it looks like it's. I mean, maybe we should.
1% was urine.
But
1%. Half of a percent.
I mean, the camera crew is peeing underwater.
Pee
in the water.
Yeah.
Nowhere else to go.
On this DVD, did you guys notice if there was any extras? By the way, guys, I still have the DVD option of Netflix. I'm the last remaining person.
Yeah. I got mine. Don't worry.
Oh, you do?
Oh, absolutely.
Simply for the beauty of Hard Rain.
Ah, oh, it's beautiful.
Get to the uppercut.
Get to the uppercut. Okay.
What about the beginning when they're chasing him on the boats? Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And how? How somehow
at the middle or the end?
How he's able to run away from the boats? Like they're the slowest jet skis. It's like that. It's like in Austin Powers where he's like, and he's like, no. That's what it's like. They're like and they cut back. They're like, and he's like, cut back to him and just sloshing through the water. And then it's like, come on,
that Kenny guy.
I've been on a jet ski. They go like 60.
That Kenny guy. Every time he's on a jet ski, he just is. Woo!
He's so happy.
He's not just giving away your location.
He's so happy.
Man,
oh man!
If I was him, I would play Metal Gear Solid.
He's the Zig.
You got to be stealth on those jets.
Metal Gear Solid. Style.
I mean, I guess you're announcing it with the
jet moto.
Yeah. That school chase sequence was so good. And in fact, sound clip.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
After so the jet ski with Kenny on it crashes into the steps of the school, and he goes flying into the trophy case. Watch your step. One of the first times Kenny almost dies. You killed Kenny! That's totally what this is.
South Park ripped off Hard Rain?
Kenny almost dies so many times until he does die, and then you realize he's not dead yet, and then he dies again dramatically in Morgan Freeman's arms.
Okay.
But, now here's the sailor line after he's crashed into a trophy case. Nope. That is not it at all.
Uh-oh.
Jonathan, he's from Tennessee. Let's give him a break today. It's all right. We're a little bit slower now.
Where is it?
This is Deer.
It's like Aloha Sailor or something like that.
Oh, is it not up there? I don't even see it up there.
Oh, yeah. That's the best line.
I definitely sent it.
Low tide. Low tide. Low tide.
Low tide.
Low tide.
G.
Low tide, sailor.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Low tide sailor.
It's right after he says, watch your step. He flies into the trophy case. Now, you think that Kenny is dead.
Oh, yeah.
He will woo the day. You guys see what I did there? He's wooing the day.
Interestingly enough, there's a little bit of wet ketchup in that trophy case.
Oh,
so he comes out with a little bit of wet ketchup on his head.
Yeah.
Apparently, also all the bullets in this town covered in wet ketchup.
Huh.
Little known fact.
Wow. Now, I believe, I don't know if you guys know this, but I was a merchant marine. It's like I was in the Navy.
Yeah, I remember.
Bunch of tats.
Big time.
Yeah, a lot of tats. Big time. And I was on
a lot of tots, too.
I was on
tater tots.
I was on what they called was a retired vessel.
Yeah.
And mostly they send the rejects of the merchant marines to there, and we kind of just like go to weird towns. I mean, and there's this one town we were in, it was just off the coast of Maine, and they have this huge festival every year. And it only happens at the lowest of low tides. And I was with a girl on the shore, and my boat was calling me in, and I had to finish quickly. And as I looked into her eyes, as we were making passionate love, I just looked into her face and I said,
low tide, sailor.
Oh, that's super romantic.
Oh, man, that was beautiful.
You know, I have a tendency to pee in the ocean a lot, right? And there's one. And
oh, I think you're required.
And I do it very. My wife always calls me out on it because I do it very like it's obvious. Like I put my hands on my hips, and I'm just like I'm just enjoying the
sight. Got my hands on my hips.
If you're ever swimming with me in the ocean and you see me like this, you know I'm just. And there was one time where I was peeing in like water up to my waist. And then the tide went out, and it was clear that you could see piss running down my leg. And I just looked at my wife, and I said,
low tide, sailor.
Nailed it.
That was awesome. Nailed it.
Yeah. And that story, not the actual part of it, but I did pee that way in the ocean.
You're a New Jersey guy.
Oh, yeah.
There was that time, it was like, what was it, like 2003, we were in Seaside Heights.
Beautiful.
Gorgeous. gorgeous. And there was a lot of stingrays that day, and they were all in the ocean.
It does happen.
And a couple, like, there were some people out there like fighting stingrays. It was one of those days at the beach. Mm-hmm. It was just a weird thing. And all of a sudden, those stingrays attacked me and Casey, and I picked one up and I stabbed the other one with it, and I looked right into Casey, and he looked right at me and said,
"Low tide, sailor."
That's great. It's beautiful.
I don't know if you know, I'm rehearsing for Magic Mike 3.
Congrats.
Yeah, I gotta get in a lot better shape. I'm training.
XXL.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine.
Triple XL. This
I'm training. Four or five inches. Yeah. It's a Magic Mike Magnum, and I.
That's a great name.
It is.
3 M's. It's got the triple alliteration. So, what I play a stripper from the nautical division, you know, and when I come out, my theme is Macho Man, not Randy Savage, the YMCA song.
Got it.
And I come out, and I'm in my sailor uniform, and I look at the women, and I yell at them.
Low tide, sailor.
Yeah.
And I slide on my knees low on the stage, and I rip my pants off.
Crushed it.
And then my retired vessel comes out.
It was a retired vessel.
That may not have been the best joke, but I saved it at the end.
That's all that counts. Now, they only remember the end.
Here's the thing. Mark and I have been friends for a while. He's a very talented percussionist.
Thank you.
He wrote a jazz tune called Low Tide Sailor.
I sure did. It was supposed to be in Whiplash, but it wasn't.
It wasn't.
I got cut out.
That was great.
It was too bad.
Are you dragging?
Watch out for cymbals.
And so, I was at one of his shows. It was a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's playing his drum solo. He's hitting it. He's hitting it all. Cymbal, snare, foot drum, kick drum, a lot of kick.
Right.
And then as soon as it's over, the crowd is just like silent because they've just seen magic. And he whispers into his Phil Collins microphone.
Low Tide Sailor.
Beautiful. And then it erupted.
And then all of us, I mean, like,
jubilation.
It wasn't done. Bras flying on stage. Like, people were throwing their girlfriends legit on stage. Clothes, whatever.
It was dangerous.
Girlfriends.
You got kind of injured, right?
I always get injured during my shows. The time.
When there's people are throwing at you, it's
throwing stuff. Bottles, pretty much.
Full
use condoms. Use Magnum condoms. Yeah. Usually.
That always sucks.
We just had a baby. We don't need this. Here, take this.
My wife's in menopause. Who gives a shit?
You need it.
We just had a baby, but we decided to use it one more time just to throw it at you.
The show has turned
my fans
high.
My fans are the best.
We're doing some highbrow here. Doing some highbrow.
Nothing like throwing semen at people to bring in the highbrow.
And when you say semen, I think you mean sailors.
Sailors. Hey,
low tide. Hey. Ding, 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 ding.
Alley to doop.
Crush
there
it.
You go.
Oh, set it up,
guys,
and slam dunk.
Hard rain. Okay, now I want to kind of go into my my biggest problem with the movie, and that is Phil. Now I hated Phil.
Don't. Phil, yeah.
Phil's character had absolutely no consistency.
Can we explain who Phil is?
Go ahead, Ben. Go ahead, Casey. Okay. Mark, I will take
Phil. No. Phil is the one guy.
Right to Phil.
Phil is the one guy working with the sheriffs that is kind of the
Phil Connors?
He's the dopey guy that's kind of in love with Minnie Driver, they insinuate, and he's just kind of the idiot of the group. And then when he finds out when Randy Quaid is going to I'm just going to take the money for myself. He's like, I don't think we should do that. And then at that point is where your big problem
comes
in. And
this is where, like, every time they cut back to Phil has a gun and he's like, I think I'm going to shoot him now. Nah,
nah,
I'm not going to shoot him.
He's so wishy-washy.
When Phil gets killed, you're like, well, good thing, Phil, because you're either going to die as a good guy or you're going to die as a bad guy. You died as just an idiot that couldn't decide on whether between barbacoa or shredded beef.
Here's the thing, though. Chipotle. They could have... Morgan Freeman could have scooped up Phil before he gets in the boat and drives off, and he just fucking leaves him.
Yeah, he's like, peace out, Phil. Because he doesn't know it, Phil. Again, Phil could have saved himself.
But he's only there for the money.
He is.
We know that. He's only there for the money.
Guys, if you're watching Hard Rain...
He also works hard for it.
Hashtag don't be like Phil.
Don't be Phil.
Don't be
and
like
hashtag
Phil.
Wear a cross earring like Morgan Freeman. The dangly cross earring was so distracting. You know,
Harrison
the entire
Ford,
movie.
The George Michael, if you
I
will.
I bet Harrison Ford gave it to him.
Yeah.
And he was like, welcome to the club.
Well, when you think about it, Morgan Freeman's like the black Harrison Ford. Like, they both have awesome voices. They both have done amazing characters.
Or is Harrison Ford the white Morgan Freeman?
Whoa. Boom.
Hey. Can they please narrate my life?
Oh,
that'd be so good.
When Morgan
that's the type of thing I would do if I
if
was
it was
just,
Harrison Ford, it'd be more like gruff now.
Exactly.
Are you Ed Asner's brother, Ted Asner?
Right. You're kind of Ed Asner, yeah.
I didn't kill my wife. I don't care.
I don't care.
Please buy mutual life policy. I'm Ed Asner. I don't vouch for many products, but when I do vouch for them, I love them. Mutual life insurance. You ought to get it because your family needs it. I'm Ed Asner.
You'd think I'd made enough money from being a voice in Up, but no, I got to do mutual life insurance. Actually, I hear he's a lovely human being.
I'm sure he's amazing. Ed, if you ever want to call him the show or come on, we'd love to talk about any of your movies, including
It
Hard Rain.
Hard Rain.
It never stops being so weirdly awkward when you have to pull it out of the Netflix case and be like, keep putting it in this. Hard Rain. Instead of keeping it at the ready, you're like, I'm gonna holster.
You know what? I'll keep it at the ready here, Ben.
I'm gonna holster this.
Hard Rain.
I'm gonna holster this beast. For
just
the...
interrupt him anytime he gets halfway through.
Okay, Ben. Why don't you start talking about your favorite parts of the movie?
Yeah, I'd like to. You know, when the tree.
Hard Rain.
That's the beginning of the. Because you warned me before I borrowed this from you. You warned me of the huh moments.
Yeah.
The first biggest what moment for me was when the power line crashes and happens to aim right for the sheriff station,
the jail,
and then kick the and that I thought the jail door was going to open up and he was going to get out that way,
but it didn't.
And it's like, nope. Tricked you, Final Destination style. Yeah. That's not what's going
to
happen.
It just got like open enough to like get you ready. You totally blew
a ball. To just give you a fuck you, like, ha.
And then here's and this lands like perfectly into Minnie Driver's character being the most precise use of a friggin' Swiss Army
knife.
She's
great.
She's so fast.
The guy who's
unscrewed Toronox just
and she's able to unscrew everything so quickly. The banister at the end when she's in her house, it's rising. She almost gets raped by Boggs.
I wish I could tell you the sisters never got the best of Andy Dufresne. That's my that's my favorite.
It sounds like Kermit and Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, Kermit.
All of my impressions lend themselves towards a Kermit derivative. My Schwarzenegger, Kermit. My Ray Romano, Kermit. My Mini Driver,
my
Kermit.
Dad, Kermit.
My dad,
Kermit.
And my Hard Rain, Kermit.
Kermit.
Shit, I fucked that up.
And my Hard Rain,
Kermit.
Oh man.
So
there's so many of those moments though in this movie. There's so many. Mm-hmm.
Everything is essentially just a plot device. A plot device for you to just go.
Yeah.
How's this gonna? Oh, okay.
when the big explosion, when the big explosion happens, when right after the stupid power line incident, they're up on the roof of the sheriff's station. The explosion happens right as they're standing up. Right as Morgan Freeman and the gang are driving by, so it just happens to be like there they are.
Yeah. Right the sky.
They're the worst criminals ever. They just have the best luck.
Not sure if you know this, but there is a tour that goes out. Cool and the gang and Morgan Freeman and the gang perform. They each split sets, and the tour is called the Hard Rain Tour. Let's go to some. Let's
I'm going
to
take a
more.
Nap on my
How
microphone.
Long? How long were you working on that? How long did you have that in your
it's
pocket?
Been brewing. That's 5 minutes.
It's been
the perfect moment.
Let's go to some more sound clips, Jonathan. Yeah.
Metal one's a good one because that's right when they're being chased by Kenny again on the jet ski. Super excited, Kenny.
Woo!
And there's a
bam, I'm right here.
There's a transformer.
Are you looking for me?
There's a transformer about to blow up.
Oh,
and so they climb up and they're like, get your feet out of the water. And then he says this, I believe.
Oh shit, this thing's metal.
They climb up it and it takes them a solid 30 seconds to be like,
this isn't plastic.
Oh, wait. Cold, wet metal is a very distinctive tactile feeling.
Yeah.
Like, I touch it. Oh, that's wet, cold metal. I know that.
Well, this isn't a tenon pole in general. Just be like, oh, yeah, that's metal.
Yeah, and that's the first moment. The second time Kenny almost gets killed. And Christian Slater, even though Kenny's trying to kill Christian Slater, tries to help him in that moment because he's that good of a dude.
Yeah,
he's like, grab my hand. No, don't climb up there. It's metal. The transformer explodes. Mm. Kenny gets electrocuted on the metal thing and catches on fire in the rain.
In the rain with soaking wet clothes.
Right.
He catches on fire. It electrocutes him that much.
That could happen.
Makes no sense. Then you think he's dead.
No, he's got just a little more pain. Just a little more.
And they're all sitting there, and that Morgan Freeman and the gang post gig. They're like, "Wow, it was a rough one." And then they're like, "I'm gonna be fine, right, Sarge?
I don't feel the pain anymore.
It's still raining on my face."
And it comes, and then he dies. Yes.
How many death? Yeah, that's a good point. How many death scenes in the '90s looked like someone coming and then dying?
70.
Every death 70%. In Tombstone callback. Right. All came before they died.
There's just one acting coach just teaching that in LA. Yeah.
Guys,
one guy.
Death is like coming.
he's got a student. Scarf.
But he you looks don't like wake up from it.
What's the guy's name again? The smart guy in Morgan and the Gang? Mr. Miller?
Mr. Miller.
Yeah,
Miller.
He teaches that. He wears a tweed blazer and a scarf, and he comes in like, "Ladies and gentlemen, it's me, Kermit the Frog."
Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog. I would like to teach you all how to die while
you
coming.
Suck. Get out of here, Kermit.
Your movies blow, bro.
Do
what? Heart rate.
Do walking.
Actually, Kermit's movies don't blow. The Muppets are
awesome. I know, they're good.
How dare you?
I would never. Okay. I believe we have. I want to go to some of these Betty White quotes with the old man. Because
Betty White molasses is a great.
Betty White molasses is great.
Just now, put your hands up real slow, like you were in a big jar of molasses.
Who hasn't been in one? Come on.
It's such an easy metaphor to just visualize. You're like, okay.
Yeah. Because if you've never been to the Iowa State Fair.
Was that too fast? Was that too fast molasses. For molasses?
Right by the butter cow.
There's,
while you explain this, I'm just going to try and do it.
Okay,
in
slow
molasses.
As molasses. Let's see. So I'm at the Iowa State Fair, and they have jars of molasses that you can get into as a person. And whilst in the jar of molasses, you have to try and collect money that's stuck in the molasses. So you're like going through, but it's really slow. And then you have to get out of the jar of molasses as slow as possible without suffocating and dying.
What?
I made that up, Ben. I was just making up a... Because if you're stuck in a jar of molasses, you're gonna die.
No, I was going with it. You think I'm that dumb?
Heart rate!
Kermit! He's about to do his cum death scene right there.
Do it.
Now, see, you're coming and dying in a slow jar of molasses, so it's like...
You'd be dead by then.
That's a sexy
you
death.
You looked a little bit like a robot shorting out of the like Max Headroom.
Okay, what else do we got in there?
What's the inspiration?
You so much as breathe funny, and your head goes back out that window without you.
Oh, I remember that shot. That's as soon as they come in through the window and they avoid. They accidentally avoid the bear traps.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And then the camera's right here, and the just huge shotgun held by Betty White just comes in.
What did she say there again? Play that again.
You so much as breathe funny, and your head goes back out that window without you.
Now, here's the thing. I had asthma as a
Patty
kid.
Patty Chayefsky, I think.
And my grandmother also owned multiple shotguns. And sometimes she had a little too much sauce in the evening. Mm-hmm. And I'd be sneaking in from, you know, a night on the town, if you will. Some batting cages and some putt-putt. And crawled in the window, and this is what she said to me. Jonathan.
You so much as breathe funny, and your head goes back out that window without you.
Yeah. Grandma.
Now get to bed.
Yeah.
Now shut your mouth. No, brush your teeth.
No kasha before bed.
And my favorite part about that was Jonathan.
Jonathan. That's if you could pull that sound clip, Jonathan, of me just saying, Jonathan. That'd be great. I appreciate that. Can we play the Betty White and her husband speech?
That's her middle name.
Betty Molasses White.
Betty Molasses.
That one is she's best, like old, she's best like old person fight ever.
Best old person fight ever.
Really?
Did I have a stroke?
I'm going to roll back there and see if he will shoot you or me. It's fine either way. Henry, you want me to get us out of here? Yes, of course. Then shut the fuck up.
So good. Oh,
shut the fuck up.
That's the one fuck in the movie.
Is it really?
The one fuck in the
movie. That's it. Yeah.
I thought there was more. I thought there was a
Well, you think they're going to say it later. When Randy Quaid goes,
he's like, "What about the money?" And he turns to Randy Quaid and he goes, "Screw the money." And you're like, "Come on,
no, screw the town."
Oh, screw the
town. Which is
yeah,
weird because it's so town. Violent that it's like, well, like why?
And these local sheriffs have machine guns.
It's like
they have like Kalashnikovs.
Whatever. Oh, yeah. Did anyone else notice whenever Randy Quaid fires his gun, like they shake the camera to make it seem even crazier, and the sound effect for his gun alone is like he's firing a cannon.
Yeah.
It's like, They show a wide shot at one point where he's firing in the graveyard, and it's just the camera's going... and I don't know if that was intentional or if just the cameraman was scared shitless of the bullets. Like, oh, fuck! Oh, fuck!
That's Randy Quaid. Even if it's fake, I'm scared.
Yeah.
Or Randy Quaid has it in his contract. He fires real bullets, and all the cameramen are like, oh, fuck! Oh, God!
I love the old man they found for this. Like, I don't even know if this is his real voice or if this is the character he played, because he sounds like Gus Jiggins in the Will Ferrell deleted scene in the Best of Will Ferrell. Yeah. Oh, Gus Jiggins.
The old prospect.
You want to get out here? Well, now, Froggy, I'll tell you.
You are a master of impressions.
I'll tell you what.
Vegas, look out.
That's your Obama, right?
Yeah.
Gordy Brown.
And you're walking.
Get out of here.
After Jeff Dunham, stay for Josh McCouga. Here at the Mirage. Jeff Dunham's crazy puppets.
And McCouga's
crazy impressions.
Wild man McCouga and his Kermit voice. Holy shit.
Variety calls it kind of one note.
The fries were great.
College fries were amazing.
He does 37 people in the same voice while reading To Kill a Mockingbird, of course.
It's the weirdest one-man show ever.
Jonathan, do we pull the shut the fuck up as a single?
Hey, shut the fuck up!
Yeah, that's what I'd like to tell all of you guys, because my Vegas show will be amazing, so you all can...
Then shut the fuck up!
There you go. Ben,
I think that
I did get you a wedding present, so why don't you...
Then shut the fuck up!
Exactly. And Casey, New York sucks, so stay in L.A., you douche! And
Then shut the fuck up!
And Mark, I think you're great, and I don't want you to say anything, but I think this is just because you're making fun of my impression, so...
Then shut the fuck up!
All of them. He just hit the cycle. He just hit the cycle right now. That was terrific.
That was a trifecta.
I can't quit, because last time I didn't host and Ben hosted, it was a nightmare. He said the N-word like four times, like, Jesus Christ, Bailey.
He went all network.
The N-word being, obviously, Nestle, Nescafe.
Nescafe, I love Nescafe. I was trying to get Nescafe to sponsor us that week.
Yeah, what are you going to do? What else we got up there,
Jonathan? I did host once.
Ray, gonna need a little inspiration, son.
And this is like character's only point in the entire movie.
With the raging flood, he makes an end of those who oppose him. And he pursues his enemies into darkness.
I like how he only said one Bible quote in the movie, and then when they came back to him for inspiration, he's like, I'm all out of Bible quotes. You're like, said one.
Bruce.
And then he just does the boss
Bruce
from the river.
Boss.
Went down by the river.
And into the river they died. I don't know why.
How many times have you seen Springsteen?
23. And today is the 40th anniversary of the release of Born to Run.
Have you really seen Bruce Springsteen
23
times?
Oh, man. I've been once.
He's the best.
He's amazing.
I've
never
seen him. I
saw him four nights in a row in Pittsburgh. Oh, none. Oh, even when I was 14, I drank like half my dad's bottle of Jim Dant.
Up top.
That's how McCougars do it.
Yeah, you know.
Jim Dant.
What do we have? We have any more?
We have some more. Yeah, we have... this is Morgan Ultimate. Those are okay. We can skip J&K. The best... This is Christian Slater's Stallone yell.
Oh, nice.
When he slammed... It goes on for a while.
Wow, that's a pretty good
That's when he slams through the school window after he gets on his jet ski.
Oh, nice.
Funny you should mention that. My other option for my guilty movie pleasure, Daylight.
We've been talking about Daylight
for a minute.
I will also fly back for that.
I don't remember that movie.
I feel like we should end the show with some Stallone.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, oh, actually, one last thing.
Okay, go ahead.
This is my favorite quote from Randy Quaid on Shit Free.
Okay, go ahead.
For 20 years, you've been looking out
for 20 years, I've been eating shit. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Well, tonight I'm changing the menu. From now on, everything I eat is going to be shit free.
Beautiful. Nobody can do it better than Randy Quaid.
I feel like that's an end of this.
That's how we're doing it.
From here on out, everything I eat is going to be shit free.
Yeah. Oh, man. Casey, dude, congrats on the movie. Everyone, I can't wait to see it, man.
Appreciate it.
And, you know, good luck on the East Coast. We'll miss you out here, man.
Yeah, appreciate it. I'll send you bagels.
Yeah, thanks,
please,
man. I appreciate that.
Lots of love.
And Mark, I love you.
See you tomorrow.
And I mean, if you guys watch Between the Sheets, the music that you hear during the show, that is Mark's original composition. So Mark, thank you for that. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Josh McCouga. My show Between the Sheets, youtube.com/Between the Sheets TV. Ben,
I have At Ben Begley Comedy, and also the Funhouse Massacre is now starting to release more images. My image for my character, Deputy Doyle, has dropped today on at Funhouse Mass. Like I said last week, we can't put any more letters. Fuck you, Twitter, for making it look like we have a fun time at church. But, I mean, I guess we would, but it's a horror comedy. And you can also look for hashtag the Funhouse Massacre, hashtag Funhouse Massacre, and it on Facebook, too. So that was a lot.
Absolutely.
But a lot of fun stuff coming out.
And we're not sure what we're going to do next week. I really want to do Con Air. But
oh man,
I gotta get a copy of that.
You gotta get a copy of Con Hair.
We got
Con Hair.
It might be.
I can just recite the whole thing for you.
If not, maybe a Van Damme classic like Lionheart, because that has an underwater I told you, as well.
The one I have is a full screen version, and I am a stickler for the aspect ratio of films.
Christ almighty, Becky.
Good for you.
I think we should.
Hey, can we play the Randy Quaid
one again? Can we go out with Randy Quaid? Until the next time, what's your guilty movie pleasure? No, play the Randy Quaid quote. we almost had it.
Shit free. There we go. Yeah. Shit free Z.
Shit free, sorry.
For 20 years, you've been looking out for
20 years, I've been eating shit. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Well, tonight I'm changing the menu. From now on, everything I eat is going to be shit free.
Guilty Movie Pleasure fans, stay shit free.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. Views expressed here are those of the host only, not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.